Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money at Menards.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
That one towards third. Dubon gets caught off second, and he's going to try and get in a rundown here. He is tagged out. No time for Altuve to advance, so Mauricio a little too aggressive at second base. Out number two.
Base running blunders, fielding blunders, bad pitching. And despite a decent amount of offense, the Astros lost a second straight game to the best team currently in the American League, the Baltimore Orioles. Final game of that three-game series this afternoon at Minute Maid Park. In the last segment, before we went to commercial break, I said, maybe the Astros' biggest problem is the one they're sitting in. They're 38-39. At home this year. 38-39. That's not good. Especially considering they are the defending World Series champions. And we've had a lot of theories on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston as to why the Astros struggle the way that they do at home. Fishing with Dana. Nagging wives. Crying babies. Waka flocka bucks. That's why we play better on the road. Okay. Well, theoretically, they could hate their families. I'm not going to make that accusation. I think it might be something else. Minute Maid Park. What is Minute Maid Park? A ballpark that sells $500 El Tiempo margaritas in center field that take way too long to get. A ballpark with fans wearing Royals hats, PSYOP, reaching over the left field line and interfering with the ball in play. A Cubs fan, or at least someone dressed as a Cubs fan. Again, PSYOP doing the same thing. Monday, doing the wave in the midst of a critical at-bat. The fans surely aren't helping. So I've got an idea. There's a little word in Astros. You might be familiar with it. It's Astro. I think it's time for the Houston Astros to put the Astro back in Astrodome. It's time for the Astros to play baseball at the Astrodome again. You know why? Fans aren't going to show up on time. Fans aren't honestly going to do very well when they're there. We got so many of them right now crying and whining. I'm just saying they're not, probably not, going to win the World Series. That's all I'm saying. A lot of you guys are acting like the season is over. You guys aren't showing up on time. You guys aren't loud when you need to be. So let's move the game into the Astrodome. Astros aren't great at running the bases. Well, guess what? No one's going to be great at running the bases when you're running through a ballpark filled with asbestos in the air. Mesothelioma. How about a true home field advantage? One that has that. The risk of that. It'll be everybody else in baseball's Camp Lejeune. Hey, how about this? You're trying to field the ball? Oh, well, it's kind of hard to pick up a baseball when it gets close to the Astrodome roof. Huh? There's bats. They could perhaps disrupt the batter's eye or somebody trying to catch a fly ball. There's rats. It might gnaw on your ankle when you're at the plate. It's time for the Astros to go back to the Astrodome because clearly the home field that they have right now, Minute Maid Park, it ain't working. And I'm dead serious about this. hey, remember when the Astros had a sub-500 record during the pandemic, but they still made it all the way to the ALCS and almost came back from down 3-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays? They didn't play that at home. Road Warriors. They're better on the road than they are at home. So how about you play on the road at home? Ed Emmett, who heroically ignored voters.
Heroic.
A true hero. I called him a boob once. He called in. We actually had a nice conversation after I called him a boob. I don't know why he was listening to the Gallant at Night show on the Texans flagship back in the day, but he called in, and I still was like, yo, bro, like this is crazy. No one wants this. But he made the Astrodome a historical monument. No one's ever going to do anything in there because no one wants to go to that part of Houston to hold a convention. Sorry, rodeo is the exception. No one wants to do anything in the Astrodome. Bring the Astros back. Put the Astros and Astro back in Astrodome. This is one of my greatest takes ever. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, to twitch.tv/ESPN975. The Astrodome is condemned and used as the rodeo stage and equipment storage with cats and rats bleeping around all over the place. Yes, and now it's the home of your Houston Astros.
It's kind of what they deserve. I think if you play, if the Houston Astros go under 500 at home, they have to play the next season at the Astrodome. I think that's a.
I think that's cool.
I think that's a that should be a new rule.
Will they have $500 El Tiempo margaritas? With a little, maybe a little asbestos, a little instead of the Breggy sauce, a little asbestos, some rat droppings, maybe too.
Yeah,
a little cat pee.
I hope you like cat pee.
Largo, they need to use the Astrodome for a local Survivor show. Rusty Hart and Tony Busby, Megan Thee Stallion. We're not putting Megan Thee Stallion in there.
No,
Mattress Mac. Mattress Mac pays some bills. We're not putting him in there either. Sheila Jackson Lee. I've seen a lot of flyers for her for mayor. Joel Osteen in the Dome to live, and let's see who makes it out. Actually, you know what? I mean, that would be pretty funny. Put Beyonce in there, too. Put some other Houston celebrities
in there. I think Megan Thee Stallion's an easy favorite, if I'm handicapping this.
She is tall.
Also, she's like 26. Every other person you named is like 50. At least.
I think it's time to put the Astros back in the Astrodome, though, because clearly home field advantage is not working. We've got Pena with a thought on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Pena, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Paul? Hey. All right, guys. So until the Astros can't make it to the ALCS, or at least get swept in the ALCS,
like they play like they don't belong there,
that's when I will count them out that they won't win the World Series. But till then, they will win the World Series this year, next year, the year after that, the year after that, the year after that. All right? And I got a bone to pick with Sean Mays. He's over here saying that, oh, they're not going to win the World Series.
He did.
Talking about the same guy that a couple weeks ago saying, oh, Bama's going to beat Texas, but when Texas beats Bama, oh, I'm going to wear my Texas shirt. I'm going to wear my Bevo hat. Man, get out of here.
I said that Texas would cover.
No, dude. You're just too much of a Debbie Downer. You know, a lot of people have been saying that I'm negative Nancy, but Sean, you've just been bringing the vibes down, dude. You gotta work on the vibes.
Just because I'm emotionally hedging for all my teams. just because I'm trying to keep my expectations low.
I'm hedging too, but that's because I'm a coward.
You're hedging even more. You know, speaking
they're
of
probably not going to win the World Series. That's what?
Probably not. I probably can't see them winning the World Series. Paul Gallant, put it on the promo.
You want to put that on a T-shirt?
Yeah, actually, I might make a promo out of that. You going? I don't think. Maybe. I don't want to count him out. Actually, I might actually just take every time that you say maybe and make that a promo. No, I was in the bullpen shortly during the last break, and our resident Philly fan, Greg.
Greg, what did he say?
He had an idea to help the Astros at home.
Throw batteries at the players of the visiting team dugout?
No, although he took great joy in the Texans fight at the game.
Of course
this
he
weekend.
Would. He probably wished that he was in that fight.
So the Phillies, when Trey Turner was struggling earlier this year, I think we talked about this on the show.
They were sarcastically cheering him.
They gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Since then, since August 4th till today, Trey Turner has hit 16 home runs and his OPS is over 1,000.
So positive reinforcement works?
It worked like hell. It seriously worked. So he said, just everyone gets a standing ovation at the Houston, at Minute Maid Park. Just every single Astro gets a standing ovation.
Every single
just
one.
Just every single one. We need Hang all on. Of them. We need all of them.
What
to
if
play
Hunter
well.
Brown's walking off the mound after allowing 7 earned runs like he did
standing
last night?
Standing ovation. He made some good pitches.
No, we can't
He made
do
some
that.
Good pitches. They hit good pitches.
Oh my God. It's so crazy that both Presley and Hunter Brown said it the last two nights. And look, I've got nothing against them. I just hate it when pitchers say that. And I know they all say it, but it's effing stupid. You gave up 7 runs. Another text. This is dumb and makes zero sense. Stop acting like a transplant. What? Saying that they should play in the Astrodome? You guys aren't good enough for them. You're not helping out. You're not.
What if the Texans played in the Astrodome? Now I'm just wanting to put all the bad teams in the Astrodome.
Put the Rockets in there.
You had to earn your way to the yeah. to the buildings made in the 21st century.
Another text. I'm now dumber for listening to that BS. What? Sorry. Put the ass back in Astrodome.
When you said
well,
that
hang on. Well, the way the Astros are playing right now, you would be if you put them in there.
When you said that there's a word in the middle of Astros, I was going to say ass, what they're playing like.
Another text, Sean. This person's coming after you from the 832. I'm going to punch Bevo if the Astros don't win the World Series now.
Wow.
I would eat Bevo.
I think the Texas Border Regents ate the first one.
They ate him? Oh my God, they really did?
Yeah.
That's kind of messed up.
I mean, it was like the 1930s.
Oh yeah, that's true. a more savage society.
Yeah, also like, you know, they needed food back then.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Fans are not happy with my wavering right now because I don't think the Astros are going to win the World Series. We'll read some of the reaction to that. But you think that's bad? Guess what the other part of this show is about to share with us in the next segment. Stick around.
ESPN, 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Huh?
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And he hooks one into right field. That'll be down for a hit. Around third comes the runner, Frazier. Tucker's throw is to third, and it's high and past Alex Bregman. Nobody will try and score there. McCann stays at third.
They're not good at fielding. They're not good at running the bases. They're not good at pitching. They can hit, but it's inconsistent. All of those reasons are why the Astros are probably not winning the World Series. That's as far as I will go. I still think they're winning the AL West. Still think they're making the playoffs. That's where I'm at on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Guys, at the very least, the Astros have had a better season thus far than our beloved Houston Cougars. But Saturday's going to be different. This is where the Cougars are going to get back on track because they're taking on the Sam Houston State Bearcats with a K and caller number 3 right now. You win a pair of tickets to the Sam Houston football game. The battle for who gets to claim Sam Houston. I suppose Sam Houston's gone a little bit further. We've dropped this whole Sam thing from the name, but caller number 3. And if you want to go to the game, great prices. $60 for a family 4-pack special, 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, $60. Individual tickets starting at just $20. Get your tickets today. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Some comments. Specifically talking about my Astros fandom. Spoiled Astros fan Paul. This is why no one has repeated as World Series champions. Yet, but yeah. It's hard to do it. Another text. Paul is used to all this failure, spending time up in Seattle. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the biggest failure in Seattle wasn't even anything the Mariners didn't do or the Seahawks didn't do. It was the time that I changed my mind about what a effing crazy city that place is. Another text. Astros fans are used to winning, and they're not winning. So they're delusionally frustrated right now.
I think that's fair. Another texter. I don't think it's the players that are panicking. I think it's the fan base. They were going to Sixth Street postseason, and this is the first time they've had somebody breathing down their neck. Yeah. You got to get used to it. This mindset that they're not going to make the playoffs, I don't get it. They're struggling, but the Rangers were struggling. The Mariners were struggling. As poorly as you have played, the Astros are still a half game up in the AL West. Yeah, it's not the easiest final stretch. The Royals obviously gave you issues. The Mariners have given you issues. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are at the very least decent. So it's not going to be easy, but the Rangers and Mariners playing one another is going to help you out. Another texter, we should call the opposing team slurs like the Boston fans. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be like my people. One of the reasons I'm glad I left. You leave a city where everyone looks exactly the same, and guess what? You find out that people are pretty rad. Who would have thought? Those people need to step outside the city. It's sort of the same thing with Philadelphians, too. Sean, the new A.J. Hoffman, writes another texter, hates everything Houston, because Sean said they're not winning the World Series. They are probably not winning the World Series.
Just could we just stop it after the first, like, four letters or five words, and that's a compliment? Sean, the new A.J. Hoffman of Houston. It's like, thanks.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but no. But then the second part where it's hates everything Houston.
From the 281, Bad Take Boulevard for Paul. Is that... That's a Killer Bees segment, right?
Yes, I think that's still okay. A Killer Bees segment.
I wasn't sure if that was survived the move. RIP Wheelhouse segment.
No. That I think Cody invented the term, and then Branham retook the term by making it a segment.
Wow.
He took the power back from the word, yes.
Damn.
I thought more people would respect my take for having like a strong take as opposed to you waffling. Because they don't like you waffling.
No.
So I thought, oh, here's where I corner the market. I'll have the hard line. Don't like that either.
You're just an Astros hater. You know what? Yeah. People like me. People know I'm one of the biggest Houston sports fans there are.
You're one of the good ones?
I'm one of the good ones.
I'm one of the bad ones?
You are. You really
That is true. You have like a decade of goodwill built up in the city.
That's true.
Still new to this. It's not true to this.
Also true. You know, I'm a radio legend.
Well, veteran.
Legend. Mm. My mom told me that.
Oh, you know what? Never mind.
My dad did too. My sister has not. So what's up with that?
Oh, I'm a doctor. Oh, I save children. Oh.
Hey, Sean, a moment ago, I mean, you were asking why people, you know, dislike you the way that you do. It's time to bring back one of our favorite segments because, listen, we're whores for ratings at the Paul Gallant Show. We will lean into the topics that everyone wants to talk about. Deion Sanders? Yup. Dallas Cowboys? Yup. Let's play with the Dallas Cowboys. It's time for Playing with the Boys. Knock, knock, knock,
knocking on wood. I want me some glory help.
Prescott, he starts to come, and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
Playing with the boys, baby. Dallas Cowboys, best team in football, 2-0. And Sean Mapes has a confession to make. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week. Sean, what's it like having been a Dallas Cowboys fan for Monday to Tuesday, Tuesday to Wednesday?
Well, Sunday, too.
3 full days, Sean, you've been a Dallas Cowboys fan. Something you theoretically could claim because your whole family's Cowboys fans.
Yes. Basically everyone that didn't grow up in Houston in my family is a Cowboys fan.
So you've jumped on the Cowboys bandwagon off of our Eagles bandwagon from last year. You don't like Jalen Hurts. You hate him. I still support Jalen Hurts even if he's not running people over. You have jumped on the Cowboys bandwagon. Why'd you do that, man?
Because I want to root for winning.
But what about your hometown team, the Houston Texans?
What about them, really?
Wow. Like,
let's actually really dig in for a second about my years as a Houston Texans fan.
Okay.
All the great moments that they've given me.
2011, 2012.
First, 2005, at the end of the season when I thought they were going to draft Vince Young or Reggie Bush.
Oh.
And then, they drafted Mario Williams. Good pick, but...
It was a good pick.
Not fun.
It wasn't fun, but... I mean, Reggie Bush, I think, was ahead of his time in the NFL. Vince Young...
Also ahead of his time in the NFL.
I don't know. Vince Young...
Ahead of his time in the NFL. That's all we have to leave it at.
A lot of people blame millennials for, like, chain restaurants failing, say, Cheesecake Factory.
Not him. He's not part of the problem.
Would Cheesecake Factory be still as readily available in 2023 after millennials stopped going? And would Vince Young have not eaten his way towards a bigger body, towards more mass?
He supported the Cheesecake Factory. Honestly, if you think about it, you know, 2006, 7, 8, then you start getting to the recession years. He was still helping out Cheesecake Factory in 08, 09.
Okay. So that was 05. That was one of the highlights of the Texas fandom.
When I thought they might draft Vince Young or Reggie Bush, and then they didn't.
Okay.
Yes, and then you fast forward 6 years, 2011. Great, fun year. Matt Schaub, franchise's best quarterback of all time, breaks his foot, right? Was that the first injury? Breaks his foot. Matt Leinart comes in the game. And then against Jacksonville, and then breaks his collarbone. And then TJ Yates.
That's my first show was after that happened. Or right before that happened. My first ever show in Houston was I was talking about how Matt Leinart sucks. Like, my first show was like, Matt Leinart blows. And honestly, I was right. TJ Yates,
into
the playoffs.
We never got to see
it. Yes, we did. We knew what was happening. You knew what was happening. Matt Leinart sucks.
Yeah, and so TJ Yates had to play in the playoffs where I don't know. They probably weren't going to beat the Patriots anyway, and then they had to play TJ Yates, so they didn't beat the Ravens either. Then 2012, another good year, more TJ Yates in the playoffs.
Yeah.
2013, absolute clown. Oh, started 2-0, and then absolute clown show.
It wasn't their fault. Matt Schaub just stopped working. Gary Kubiak and Wade Phillips, like, Gary Kubiak had a stroke. Come on.
I thought you were going to say that. I thought you should say Matt Schaub got hurt. He just asterisks on the rest of the season.
Kubiak and Rick Smith just needed another year. It would have been fine.
Oh, yeah. And then
he did win a Super Bowl with the Broncos.
Then they fired St. Pius legend Gary Kubiak.
They did. Was that a highlight for you?
No. Low point.
Low point.
Yes.
Bill O'Brien, though. Bill O'Brien, best coach in Texans history.
That didn't graduate from St. Pius, yes.
But he is a Catholic. Come on.
He's got that going for
him. Don't all you Catholics stick together?
Not as much as you think.
I thought the Pope was holding everybody together. Okay.
And then, 1 year of crappy quarterbacks every year until 2017, where Deshaun Watson played 6 games towards ACL. And then...
That ruined the World Series. I'm not even lying. I was bummed out after they won the World Series. I was like, damn it, now they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, and then Deshaun Watson, awesome, 2018.
Yeah.
2019, also awesome, but blew a 24-point lead in the first half against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Very
underrated
quick.
Part. They blew that lead in the first half.
It was quick. They got it over with quick.
2020, absolute clown show. 2021, David Culley. 2022,
Lovie Smith.
That's what we're dealing with here.
And that's why you're a Cowboys fan now.
Yes. Okay. It's because the Cowboys fans, or the Cowboys, not only do they give you hope of being competitive, they just give you something to talk about. The Texans... What are we talking about with the Texans?
Oh man. Okay, Sean Mapes, Cowboys.
If you can jump on the Eagles bandwagon, I can jump on America's team's bandwagon.
But I'm part Philadelphian by blood.
I'm part Cowboys fan by blood.
Okay, fair enough. Right. We got familial ties, so we can do this. Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, a lot of hype all of a sudden for Micah Parsons to win MVP as a defensive player. Here's why I'm a little bit bothered by this. Because a lot of people are saying, oh, this is going to be the first time that it ever happens. And we're doing this in week two. Now, not a lot of great quarterback play to this point. But people are forgetting how close J.J. Watt was to winning it back in the 2015 season. J.J. Watt had a ton, all things considered, of votes for MVP that season. And 13 first place votes. It's pretty good. Aaron Rodgers had 31 of 50. He had 13. Do you think, over under, that Micah Parsons will get more than 13 first place votes for MVP this season? I say no. I think he will get some. I don't think it's going to be that many, though.
I think he'll get more.
More?
I think he'll get more.
More than 13 votes.
Yeah, because he's going to pile up some numbers. And, like, the sack numbers. And all he needs, really, is a guy not to stand out, like a quarterback not to, like, run away with it. You know, he just needs to avoid a, you know, I don't know, record-breaking year from Pat Mahomes, which doesn't look like we're going to get.
No.
Jalen Hurts, just looking at last year's MVP, Jalen Hurts hasn't looked awesome so far this year.
That's true.
I'm not sure. I think C.J. Stroud leads the league in passing yards. He's not going to win MVP.
Why not?
Because he plays for the Texans.
Rookie of the year?
Maybe. Maybe rookie of the year.
That could bring you back from the Cowboys, I think, easily.
No. Bijan Robinson might win rookie of the year, actually.
Jesus, the UT just never stops.
I really have just leaned into being terrible. Like, I under, now I under, you know what? These segments back to back, I understand why no one likes me anymore.
Yeah, I do too.
I kind of get it.
I do too. But look, we're whores for ratings. This is why we do our Cowboys segment once a week.
Yes.
Let's piggyback off of this Cowboys segment with more ratings whoredom. Okay, I think there's a chance that Deion Sanders could coach the Cowboys at some point. I don't know when, but at some point. And he keeps making headlines, and big credit to him. On the other side, we'll tell you why Deion Sanders is an American hero. Yeah, we are doing it for the ratings, baby. Paul Galancho, stick around. First, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Thursday night football, it's probably going to be underwhelming. NFL forcing players to play on too short a rest. Leads to ugly games that are sloppy. And if you go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, deposit $50 to receive up to $200 in cash instantly to your MyBookie account. You can bet on the Niners and the Giants in Thursday night action. The Niners are 10-point favorites. It's pretty crazy to see the amount of touches that Christian McCaffrey has gotten thus far this year. I think a lot of people thought, well, McCaffrey gets banged up a lot. Maybe they shouldn't do it as much as they're doing it. But do you think that Christian McCaffrey and that 49ers team can get out to a huge lead on the Giants, who finally showed up to the 2023 NFL season in the second half against the Arizona Cardinals? I think more specifically, in the fourth quarter against the Arizona Cardinals. I am curious about the Giants. I feel like they're better than what they have shown thus far. I don't think they're as good as they were last year, but you know, they're somewhere in between. 10 points? Can't they cover it? Brian Daboll is being really coy about Saquon Barkley's injury, and it does have me feeling like the 49ers are a possibility. But, man, it's Thursday night football, and it's a 10-point spread. It just seems like it's too much. So you could play on that, mush me. Or, on top of that, you could bet with me that the Giants actually cover this thing. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN, 97.5.com, on the Chase Long.
I've got a Chase Long in my dressing room.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
McCann around the bunt, pushes the bunt down. Maton will cover the bag, and will he get there in time? No. Everybody's safe. That's that first third bunt play that worked in Kansas City with Hector Neris on the mound. And it pays off against the Astros again.
You'd think you'd be a little more wary of that. I'm sure that the Orioles, if they studied tape, do they do that in baseball? I know they study where pitches are and that there's percentages of where to expect pitches, but do they see a team be lackadaisical defensively in the field and say, we're going to take advantage of this too? Probably. And they did. The Royals did that to the Astros a couple of games ago. And last night, the Orioles, a smart team, a good team, they did it too. Fielding for the Astros, not very good. Base running for the Astros, not very good. Pitching for the Astros, not very good. All of that adds up, even on a night where you score 5 runs, which is solid, to an Astros loss against the best team in the American League. And that's why I'm saying the Astros are probably not winning the World Series this year. That's as far as I will go. Look, we are shills for ratings on this Paul Gallant show, though, and I know that talking baseball and talking about the Astros, especially after another loss, it does get people to listen. But we talk about the Cowboys here. We also talk about Deion Sanders here. Deion Sanders. Oh, one of my favorite comedians is on Good Morning Football. Sorry, ADD. Deion Sanders is being praised like he is a hero. A hero! For saying this after all of the backlash that Henry Blackburn has been getting for lacerating, by hitting him, not with a knife, lacerating Travis Hunter's liver. Deion Sanders, everybody.
Henry Blackburn, I want you guys to record this and run with this. Henry Blackburn is a good player who played a phenomenal game. He made a tremendous hit on Travis on the sideline. You could call it dirty. You could call it he was just playing the game of football. But whatever it was, it does not constitute that he should be receiving death threats. This is still a young man trying to make it in life, a guy that's trying to live his dream and hopefully graduate with honors or degree, committed to excellence and go to the NFL. He does not deserve a death threat over a game. At the end of the day, this is a game. Someone must win, someone must lose. Everybody continues their life the next day. Very unfortunate. I'm saddened if there's any of our fans that's on the other side of those threats. I would hope and pray not, but that kid was just playing the best of his ability, and he made a mistake. So I forgive him. See you. Our team forgive him. Travis is, he's forgiven him. Let's move on. But that kid does not deserve that.
Deion Sanders is being praised like a hero for saying that. And yeah, we have reached the point of critical mass when it comes to Deion Sanders, where anything he does is polarizing. And any little thing he does is going to get a ton of praise. Now, the reason that this happened is not because of Deion Sanders. It's not Deion's fault. But Colorado's elevated profile, and as described by Sean Mapes earlier this week, the fact that they have become America's team in college football has definitely led to more people siding with Colorado and perhaps to an irrational degree. And a lot of people like Travis Hunter, specifically that one person that thought that the player, Henry Blackburn, who hit Travis Hunter should be, I can't say that word, but he was trying to say ejected. Let's just say he said another word. But also all these death threats that are coming after Travis Hunter. It's good that Deion came out and said all those things. It's probably necessary that he came out and said all those things. But let's not pat Deion Sanders on the back too much for not being a for being a decent human being here, right? I think that there's been a little bit too much praise of Deion doing this. It's a real classy move. Well, yeah, the kid's getting death threats and he's a kid.
Yeah, what Deion said, like, that is good. I agree with everything that he said. It is the, like, classy move, look at Deion, like, defending Henry Blackburn. I mean, there's not a coach in America that after the game would be like, oh, that guy on the other team's getting death threats? Good, keep him coming. Like, no one would do that. Everyone would walk it back. Brian Kelly is the only one that I'm not sure.
That's what I was about to ask.
I'm not sure. Every other coach except for Brian Kelly walks that back. 100%.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. That's how it's going to happen. He's reached critical mass where now every single story is going to be dissected for days and days after the fact. And we'll see what happens on Saturday against Oregon, especially without Travis Hunter. I don't feel great about Colorado's chances this weekend. They have been a fun story. I probably will go out of my way to watch this game. Probably, I say. I might have some other extracurricular activities going on, though.
Well, you might have some things popping off at 2:30 Central, or is there another game that has your eye? Or
it's gonna be Sean. Secret. It's gonna be 12:30 Western time.
Yeah, yeah. That's how time zones work.
Yeah,
but I was saying 2:30 Central time. Like,
but for me, it's gonna be 12:30.
Oh,
Pacific Coast.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm gonna be able to watch college football.
You're gonna
this
be
weekend.
On the sideline with Offset and the Migos.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Master P and
Deion
Paul
Sanders
Gallant.
Has officially welcomed me into the fold. I'm so glad I finally get to break the news. Deion Sanders is flying me out to the Autzen Zoo in Eugene,
oh,
Oregon.
Yeah, it's actually a road game.
He's flying me out there.
Yeah, no.
I'm part of the, it's me.
The Luminaries.
What's his name? Offsides?
Offset.
Offsides, The Rock, My Ghost.
Master P.
Master P. Lil Bow Wow, because that's Master P's son, right? Am I right here? Yeah, fly me out. What? Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, what's the proper amount of sleep? Do the Astros need sleep? Are they going to win the World Series? Probably not, I say. Stick around. We wrap things up next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Who?
Jack Burton. Me.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Help behave, Paul. Give him hell.
Okay, guys. The Astros' urgency has been called into question. They got a game this afternoon, 1 o'clock, against the Baltimore Orioles. 110 to be specific. The roof is going to be closed. I think they should play it in the Astrodome. I suggested that a little bit earlier, seeing as they have a sub-500 record at home, but it's fine. Sean, there's a song by a wise group of philosophers. They're called Foreigner. They wrote a song called Urgent. Honestly, I think it's one of their best songs, written in 1981. Any chance we could play this in the background while we read off the Houston Astros lineup today? Because I feel like we're going to be able to determine whether or not this lineup is urgent enough by Dusty Baker if we got a little background noise. Lead off, Jose Altuve. Okay. Second, Jeremy Pena. Okay. Third, Kyle Tucker. Okay. Alex Bregman cleanup. I like that. Wait, Jose Abreu's fifth? I don't know. I think it should be cleanup. Yiner Diaz, the DH, he's hitting sixth. Yiner's in the lineup, urgent. Chaz McCormick, he's in the lineup, urgent. Jake Myers in center field. That is not urgent. I don't know what's up with Michael Brantley, by the way. He's out again. He's dealing with general soreness.
General soreness.
Thanks.
Highly decorated general soreness.
Highly decorated general soreness. Martin Maldonado, catcher. Well, I mean,
got to.
Got to put him in there. Because Christian Javier's on the hill. You need somebody to keep him level, steady. Well, that is urgent.
You need run support. That's what you need.
Well, Javier probably. But I honestly, Sean, I don't see anything missing from that lineup.
You don't?
No.
Not one guy?
Well, I'm looking at it. I don't see anybody missing.
A certain daddy.
I'm still struggling here.
You didn't notice that your daddy isn't in there? Your Alvarez?
Oh. Well, listen, you had to do it because you have to get Yiner in the lineup, and you have to have Maldonado in there.
And so
Alvarez hasn't had a good last couple of games. Look, it worked with Kyle Tucker. You put Kyle Tucker on the bench. Next game, he comes out. He's been pretty good the last two games. He has a double, a triple, and a home run. Like, he's almost got a cycle.
So this is a
load management.
Yeah, and also maybe lose the battle, win the war situation. We're going to need Yordan the last
against
10
Kansas
games.
City. Yeah. You need him against Kansas City and Seattle.
Yeah. You need him against Kansas City for sure.
Mm-hmm. There you go, guys. I think that is a semi-urgent lineup. But the Yordan Alvarez not being in the lineup.
It's like an 8 out of 10 urgency.
It might be a 6. Okay, guys. It's time for a little garbage time. I'm only happy when I'm...
garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's Garbage Time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
So I had lunch with disgraced Orioles broadcaster. I'm just kidding. Kevin Brown yesterday. We went to J Bar M. For those who haven't heard me talk about it, I love that place. Amazing barbecue. Anyway, we got the four meat platter, double brisket, sausage, and pulled pork. I got home from this and I was dead. Like I sat down for a second. I woke up 3 hours later. And I found out that no food has more tryptophan than pork. Pork is more likely to make you sleepy than anything. And it made me think about a Chappelle Show skit where people were eating ribs to go to bed. Pork makes you sleepy. And I don't know if I could have it again, Sean, because I didn't even drink at J Bar M. They have great drinks there. I sat down after eating pork and I was just out. Like my body couldn't handle pork and put me into essentially food coma.
You used a different term over text to describe your
state. I was
your
porked
state.
Out.
What was that?
I was porked out.
You're porked out. So you met
totally
up.
Totally porked.
You met up with a friend.
I met up with Kevin Brown.
A friend from college.
Met up with a friend from college
seen
and
in
I got
a while,
porked. Yeah.
And you got porked out.
What's wrong with that? You're getting porked out.
And you had to take a nap. It was tiring getting porked out.
I also found out that turkey actually gets blamed for having all that tryptophan for making people go to sleep. Actually, fake news. It's the carbohydrates that you have with the turkey that essentially make you sleepy at Thanksgiving.
Who would have known? It's the everything else in Thanksgiving that gets you tired, not the bird.
Correct. Speaking of tired guys, Sean. A man who almost got me canceled because instead of calling him what I wanted to, which is chicken bleep P-word, because he was so scared pitching to the best hitters in baseball, I called Yusei Kikuchi deferential. And apparently that is disparaging to Asians. Sorry, didn't know. Sorry, random Seattle Mariners blogger. But Yusei Kikuchi gets a lot of sleep. This is an all-time baseball story. He's the Blue Jays pitching. He's a Blue Jays starter now. Yusei Kikuchi left Tuesday's Blue Jays game with cramps. He says he thinks it may have been caused by only getting 11 hours of sleep last night instead of his usual 13 to 14. He typically goes to bed around 11 and wakes up at 1. What the balls is wrong with this guy?
That is awesome. I wish I could live like that.
You'd want to sleep 13 to 14 hours a day? And I'm not getting much sleep these days. I've only been getting like 5 to 6 hours of sleep, which I think has definitely directly correlated to my general irritability. But
that is some real sleeping that he's doing.
13 to 14 hours
he's
a day.
He's got to feel so good, though, at 1 p.m. every time he wakes up.
I guess. I don't know. There's a certain point where if you sleep too much, you will feel tired the rest of the day.
But he didn't get enough sleep this time, and he cramped up. Normally, he sleeps for more than half the day, and more than half the day is a lot of sleep, I will say. If he could get that to, like, I don't know, one to noon, I think I could go for, like, what's that, 11 hours?
You can go for 11?
No, I think that would be like the, you know, what I would do if I was Kikuchi. I could probably.
I can't go more than 9 hours sleeping. Really? No, I can't. I like even hungover, I gotta wake up and walk around for a little bit. Like I feel like I'm wasting my life away if I'm asleep.
If I don't set an alarm, like I will sleep until like noon.
Good for you. Good for you. I wake up and I press the snooze button and then I go back to sleep sometimes. So it's never like deep sleep, which is probably, again, like I might even have sleep apnea along the way. But Yusei Kikuchi, 13 to 14 hours of sleep. Maybe the Astros need 13 to 14 hours of sleep tonight because they might be asleep when the playoffs begin. Just kidding. But they are probably going to be asleep when the World Series begins. He is Sean Mapes. I am Paul Gallant. Big thanks to our texters, twitchers, and our callers. Josh Beard in the Who is up next. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip now.
What's the recommended amount of dedicated RAM I should have to the server?